Let's light this candle.
Just keep cranking away.
Just take that and think about that for a little bit.
Wow, bro.
You are listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Rick Hahn, Executive VP and General Manager of the Chicago White Sox.
There is that mild risk that you get sort of caught up, and we're at the winter meetings. Let's do something. Hey, we're close on this. Screw it. Let's just do it. Even though a week ago, when we're under a more relaxed environment in Chicago, we rejected that idea. So, again, it's about making smart baseball decisions, trying to rule out, eliminate the noise. There is a little not only heightened anticipation, but, you know, the clubs are here to do business. The agents are here to do business. So there's maybe an increased chance that you do something now. But again, if doing Yasmani Grandal the Thursday before Thanksgiving is every bit as satisfying as getting a similarly impactful player in January. I'd rather do it sooner, but we got to do it when it actually lines up.
You're listening to Cap and Company live from San Diego, brought to you by White Claw Pure Hard Seltzer. We are behind the scenes with the baseball winter meetings on ESPN 1000.
Do you slide on all your nights like this?
Good morning. Welcome in to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. We're in our mobile First Midwest Bank studio. Our behind-the-scenes coverage of the baseball winter meetings brought to you by our great corporate partners at White Claw Pure, delicious hard seltzer. With Danny Zetterman and Chris Black, I'm David Kaplan, and we're in the lobby of the Grand Hyatt. Day three of the baseball meetings that wrap up tomorrow. We'll be here again tomorrow and then back in our studios in Chicago on Friday. Finally, the thaw has come to the winter meetings. We're seeing moves being made. Yesterday, the White Sox acquired Nomar Mazara, and Sox fans who are tweeting at me are freaking out. Oh, my God, why didn't we go sign Nick Castellanos? I didn't know the season started tomorrow, but that's beside the point. You got a good young player, and we'll see how he works out. They didn't give up a ton. It's not like they just gave up Mike Trout. Cubs haven't done anything yet, and then the big news drops last night while we're at dinner. Gerrit Cole, $324 million, and he is the evil empire is officially back. He's a Yankee. Danny, how about that, man? We're at dinner last night. We'll get to that story in a minute, but we're at dinner. We look at the phones. That's Twitter. We keep it open. Uh-oh, the evil empire's back, and they're spending big money, and everyone here is going, and the Cubs, the Red Sox, and the Astros have all announced they have to move money. Crazy.
I don't understand how that works out. The Yankees just continuously print money. Gerrit Cole,
they
I heard a stat.
They haven't been over the luxury tax.
I heard a stat. Gerrit Cole now, he had 324 strikeouts last season or something like that. He's getting $1 million per strikeout.
Yeah, that's how it worked out.
It's unbelievable. I gotta make sure one of my boys can pitch.
Look, here's the deal. And asking the executives that, you know, there's 2,000 people in the lobby yesterday, some of the biggest names in the game. You can just walk right up and talk to them. And from what you hear from different executives, things are cyclical. The White Sox are at the start of an upwardly mobile cycle, while the Cubs are trending in the other direction, as are the Astros, as are the Red Sox. And these teams do not want to be what's called repeaters on the luxury tax. And I know everybody's out there is going, wait a minute, you charge the second highest ticket price, you charge me $1 billion for a beer, you own basically all of Wrigleyville, and you can't spend. The Cubs are already at the luxury tax right now without Cole Hamels, without Strope, without Cshek, without Kinsler, without Zobrist, and they still got a ton of work to do to try and improve this team. That's why they're trying to get some payroll flexibility. They don't want to be a repeater on the luxury tax. The Yankees, I think, haven't been in the luxury tax for 3 years. The Red Sox were over it, way over. They were number one. The Cubs were number two. I think the Yankees may have gone into the first level last year, and that was the first time in a while. Back-to-back 100-win seasons, won their first division since 2012, and now they're stepping on the accelerator, and they're ready to go. The Cubs are going to do all they can to try and move big money off their roster if they don't think that person can be re-signed. And it's not as easy as just going, there's the contract, how much do you want? Maybe the player doesn't want to be here. I don't know. I'm going to interview Scott Boras later today, and we'll see what he has to say. But the Cubs are looking at a guy like Chris Bryant going, okay, Chris Bryant has got 2 years of control left unless he wins his grievance. And other than Scott Boras, who said it yesterday when he met with the media, everyone in the industry said there's no chance he's winning that grievance. We'll find out. But they're looking at it going, okay, here's what we think he's worth. Whatever that number is, just whatever it is. If Chris and Scott go, yeah, that's not going to work for us, then if you're not going to be able to get him re-signed, you have no choice but to trade him. You know, I've heard people like Sylvie on the station last week going, why aren't the White Sox after Gerrit Cole and Steven Strasburg? First of all, Steven Strasburg was never leaving Washington. Never. Mike Rizzo was up by the pool yesterday doing TV at our sister station, NBC Sports DC, and he was saying, we felt pretty good that he was coming back as long as we made the commensurate offer. They did. He signed. Done. He was never leaving. Gerrit Cole was never going to sign in Chicago. That's just a fact.
But so, why? Why is that a fact? Like, you say it's so matter-of-fact, like, oh, he was never going to come to Chicago. Why couldn't he come to Chicago? It's a world-class city. Mm-hmm. It's a great baseball town. The fans are amazing, passionate about their sports. Mm-hmm. They're not like, oh, whatever. They care about their sports. Why can't Gerrit Cole come there? There's marketing opportunities off the field of play.
Danny, do you have any idea what the revenues are of the New York Yankees versus the revenues of the Chicago White Sox?
But that's not – you're talking about how he was never going to come to Chicago. I want to know why. If the money's equal, if the Chicago White Sox offered Gerrit Cole the exact same amount as the New York Yankees, maybe a little bit more, why wouldn't he choose the White Sox?
Because they're not ready to take the next step and win. He wants to win the World Series. He was never – it was either going to be the Angels. He was 7 miles from his high school where the Angels play. So it was either going to be I'm going home – or I'm going to play for the New York freaking Yankees. And much as it's my hometown, Chicago, love it. The New York Yankees revenue in 2018 was $668 million. $668 million. The White Sox aren't within $200 million of that. There was no chance that they were ever going to spend $324 million. And I guarantee you, had the White Sox put $340 million on the table, he would have gone, yeah, I'm good, thanks. I'm going to the Yankees. They've won 28 championships. It's the New York freaking Yankees.
Yeah, but the Sox are building momentum
on the south side.
And you would think he could be the John Lester of that team. Listen, it's pointless to argue about it now because he signed with the Yankees and that's where he's going to play.
By the way, the revenue for the White Sox in 2018, I told you the Yankees was $668 million. The revenue of the White Sox, $272 million. That's $400 million.
Okay, but he's getting $36 million a year. They could pay $36 million a year out of that $272 million. What does it matter what the whole revenue is? All he cares about is how much he's getting paid. What's frustrating about what you said is we're constantly saying that about teams in Chicago now. NBA free agency comes up. Oh, he's never going to come to the Bulls. MLB free agency comes up. Oh, he's never going to play
in
the South Side. Why? Why?
Because,
why do we say that? It's
because
frustrating
in the NBA,
as a fan.
Basically everyone's on a level playing field with what you can offer, other than if you can go supermax because he's your guy, without getting into all the minutia. Basically, if you go free agent, they're all the offers are the same. You can't say, I'm the New York Knicks, I'm going to pay you $1 billion more. That's not allowed.
I understand that. I'm not talking money.
But I'm talking in Major League Baseball, it's just a fact. The New York Yankees are at one level. The Chicago White Sox, and this is not a criticism, are at an entirely different level. And if you walked up and said, hey, Gerrit, they're at 324, we're at 350. He's not coming. He's just not. That's just a fact. They are the New York Yankees. It is a different experience. And they've won 100 games back-to-back. He feels like, you drop me in that rotation, I can go win the World Series. Right now, I can win the World Series and be with the New York Yankees, the greatest franchise in American professional sports history. The greatest. It's not close. The Patriots have had an amazing run. They're not the New York Yankees. They're just not. And so that's just a fact. That's just the way things are. So you've got to know what your level is, who you can get, and then you go after them. So the Sox identified Zach Wheeler, and they offered $125 million. The Phillies were at $118 million, and he went, yeah, I'm good. My wife's from New Jersey. Her family wants to get to the games. yeah, I'm good. I'm going to take the Phillies offer. That's not a shot at the White Sox. It's just a fact. Now, a year from now, if you tell me Lucas Giolito is, that's the guy. The guy we saw in 19 is that guy. And he's good again. And Luis Robert's rookie of the year. And they've been able to take the next step. And you go, wow, that's an 84-win White Sox team. They're over 500. Now they take the next step. Okay, I get it. Push all your chips in and take a run at somebody out there. But to this fantasy that some people thought, well, why don't we offer Gerrit Cole that deal? He was never, ever, ever going to take the deal. Never. And they got $400 million more in revenue. The cash flow is just a different thing, man.
Well, I don't know why you keep going to the revenue. I don't. Do players care what the team's revenue is? If I'm player X,
you got to be able to write those checks.
If you make an agreement, if the Sox sign Gerrit Cole for the same price and it's $36 million a year, Gerrit Cole is going to get his money. Like, I don't truly believe that a player sits down and says, what's your team revenue? The player cares about two things. Do I have a chance to win and how much are you paying me? You keep going back to team revenue. Gerrit Cole might have signed with the Yankees because they're the greatest franchise in the history of sports. He might have signed with the Yankees because he has a great chance to win a World Series. And he might have signed with the Yankees for the opportunity to live in New York and to be on that stage. Mm-hmm. But to keep going back to team revenue, I truly believe nobody cares about that. That's playing the
when
game of baseball.
When you guarantee a contract to a pitcher for $324 million,
he's getting his money.
Correct, but the Yankees can afford that. If that, heaven forbid, Gerrit Cole doesn't work out, he probably will. But what if Gerrit Cole's a bust? He shrinks on that stage. You know what they do? Okay, chalk that one up. Just go buy another one.
But you're not answering my question. My question is, Gerrit Cole doesn't care about that. Gerrit Cole didn't sign with the Yankees. I said that. Gerrit Cole didn't sign with the Yankees because of their revenue, though. My point simply is, you're right about everything you said about the Yankees, but Gerrit Cole didn't sign there because their revenue was $600 million. He doesn't care at all about that. And if he's a bust, he doesn't care if they can go out and sign somebody else. He just cares about Gerrit Cole.
No, I don't disagree with
you. So the White Sox should have pulled up a chair at the table. They didn't, and it's too late. But they had every opportunity to pull up a chair at the table and at least kick the tires.
They actually, I'm sure they made a call because Rick does that. He does his due diligence. But the fact of the matter is, there was no amount of money the White Sox could have offered that would have gotten them Gerrit Cole. Just never going to happen.
And that was my initial point, was that it's a sad state of affairs that they can't sign the greatest free agents because they're just not going to come there. It's a sad state of affairs
right.
for the White Sox, and we apply that to the Bulls as well. It's sad that two of our teams in this town, when it comes to major free agency, we say to ourselves, what's the point? They're not going to come here.
But
we don't say that with the Bears. We don't say that with the Cubs. But when it comes, and I don't think we say that with the Blackhawks, but when it comes to the Bulls and it comes to the Sox, we're quick to dismiss free agents joining those teams because, they're not going to come
here. Okay, but if you were Gerrit Cole and your agent came to you and said, okay, I got 324 from the White Sox. I got 324 from the Angels, which is reportedly they were right there. I got 324 from the Dodgers. I got 324 from the New York Yankees. Okay, if I'm Gerrit Cole, I'm just being honest, and I'm a Chicagoan. I live here. I was born here. I will die here. I would say to Scott, okay, I'm either going to the Angels because I grew up 7 miles from the stadium and I always kind of fancied myself going there. I went to UCLA. Or I'm going to the freaking New York Yankees, the biggest stage in the world, most marketing opportunities, and the most pressure, and I thrive on that. I'm just being honest. He was not going to come to the Cubs if they had the money. Just wasn't going to happen. The New York Yankees are at a different level, and they're ready to win the World Series. That's just a fact. And if you don't like it, okay, I'm just being honest with you. That's the way it is.
Well, Gerrit Cole's in a unique situation because he's the best pitcher, arguably, in the game right now. He had teams that are ready to compete, willing to pay him a great deal of money. But let's just look at Zach Wheeler. I mean, the White Sox offered him more money, and he went somewhere else.
Correct. That's why you just got to keep banging on the wall, take a shot at a guy who has some upside. Like Nomar Mazara. I'm looking on social media, like, oh, we got Nomar Mazara because he's cheap. No, actually, because he's 24, and he's got 20 home runs, and 19, and he's 24 years of age.
And he's also a lefty, and the Sox were predominantly righty last year.
Good athlete. He's 6'4", he's 215, and you're hoping that you're buying low and hitting a home run, and they gave up a prospect named Steele Walker, who everyone in Chicago all of a sudden thinks is the second coming of Mike Trout. Come on, people. You take a chance. They want to buy players. You got to know who you can get and who you can't get. You giving 5 for 100 to Nick Castellanos? I'm not. But maybe they will. Let's go to Andy in New Lenox. Andy, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. So I kind of have a two-part question. My first question would be about the Yankees, but you guys were talking about revenue. So the Cubs made like $500 million last year. So, like, I'm confused on to.
No. I don't think they made $500 million. That might have been their revenue.
Okay, so this might be a dumb question, but, like, what's the difference? Because if it matters for the Yankees, how come it doesn't matter for the Cubs?
The Cubs' revenue last year was $200 million less than the New York Yankees. $452 million was the revenue of the Cubs. $668 million was the revenue of the New York Yankees. They just play on a different level. That's just the way it is. The $452 million, you then have to run the franchise. Again, there's no tag days for the Cubs, and I think it's, you know, sad that they're at the position that they're at, that they're now cutting payroll. I agree with you. I get it. All I'm saying is that the New York Yankees play in a different financial end of the pool than every other team in baseball. That's just the way it is. And now, back-to-back 100-win seasons, division champs, a ton of young stars, they're back. The evil empire has returned.
So that's understandable. My second question is, so what happens with the Yankees going forward? Because we've seen the Cubs, I mean, with these smaller contracts, but, I mean, they were bigger at the time, and they've been totally handcuffed with all these young guys that they had. So what happens with the Yankees? Like, are they going to be able to sign Gleyber? Are they going to be able to sign all these guys? Or is this basically like a win now and see what it, you know, see what happens? Are they still going to have money to sign these guys?
Well, they have Gleyber Torres, who they have not had to extend yet. They'll pick out, like the Cubs are trying to do, the Red Sox are trying to do, and it looks like they're in trying to cut payroll. The Astros are trying to cut payroll. They're going to get to that point where they're like, okay, we can't pay everybody. So who are we keeping and who are we not? Gerrit Cole is obviously going to be there long term. I think he's got a 5-year opt-out. So they know they're on the books for minimum $36 million times five. Minimum. And I'm sure at age 34, he's not opting out. So they basically, that's what they're on the hook for. They're going to probably pay Gleyber Torres, unless, you know, his production all of a sudden decreases, and I don't see that happening unless he gets a, you know, horrible career-threatening or career-debilitating injury. They let Didi Gregorius walk, so he's now a Philly for $14 million, so that comes off their books. They're going to continue to try. That's why it's so important to crank out players out of your system. That is the single biggest failing of Theo Epstein, is that their farm system has done a lousy, lousy job in supplying cheap, ready-to-go labor. And you look at the Braves. There's Ronald Acuna Jr. There's Ozzie Albies. There's Max Fried. There's Mike Fulton-Nevich. They just keep bringing up these young guys who make no money. Look at the Dodgers. They got all these young guys coming around. Look at the Yankees. Bring up Aaron Judge from the farm system. Stud. They acquired Gleyber Torres. Stud. Where are those guys for the Cubs? Where are they? They don't have them. White Sox right now, they've got some really high-end prospects everybody wants, and they're not going to move them unless they get a superstar back with a lot of control. Hey, man, appreciate your call. We'll get to more of them. Hey, introducing small business banking from First Midwest Bank. Bring your small business needs to the banking experts at First Midwest Bank. Our bankers specialize in small business with many ideas on how to help your small business grow. Maybe you need a line of credit, you need a loan for expansion, maybe you need help with investment advice and succession planning. First Midwest Bank, where I've been a customer for over 20 years, offers personal bankers, mobile banking, and local decision makers to help your small business. First Midwest Bank, proud to be your local Chicago bank, and First Midwest Bank is the third largest independent bank in Chicago. No matter what your small business needs may be, all the bankers at First Midwest Bank will help you expand your small business. You have plans for your small business? First Midwest Bank has ideas to make sure all your business needs and goals are realized. Talk to a banker today about your small business by going into your local First Midwest Bank branch today. All loans and lines are subject to credit approval. And by the way, I mentioned the Dodgers. The biggest contract Andrew Friedman has signed for a free agent outside of their organization, the Dodgers, who have more money than anybody almost other than the Yankees, $55 million, period. That's it. So it's developing young players, Cody Bellinger and all these guys that come through, Corey Seager. You don't get that with the Cubs right now, and that's the big problem. White Sox are trying to change that. 312-332-3776. David Ross addressed the Chris Bryant trade rumors that are swirling throughout the lobby here. We'll give you the latest and play that for you next.
Live from San Diego all this week, we take you behind the scenes of the winter meetings with Cap and Company, brought to you by White Claw Pure Hard Seltzer. You are listening to Cap and Company live from San Diego, brought to you by White Claw Pure Hard Seltzer. We are behind the scenes with the baseball winter meetings on ESPN 1000.
Hey, welcome back on ESPN 1000 in San Diego at the Grand Hyatt site of the baseball winter meetings, where White Sox acquired Nomar Mazara for a prospect named Steele Walker. They are still open for business. As Rick Hahn said, I got the checkbook, but it's got to be the right deal. They offered $125 million for Zach Wheeler. He chose the Phillies because his fiance is from that area. He's getting married New Year's Eve. $324 million to Gerrit Cole from the New York Yankees. They're back. Strasburg stays with the Nationals for $245 million over 7 years. So they are hanging on to him, but the scuttlebutt here is now that Rendon is out with the Nationals because they can't afford to pay both guys. So, you know, Danny brought up, why can't the White Sox be in play on a guy like Gerrit Cole? Folks, just be honest with yourself. They're at a different level. Everything about the Yankees is ready to win the World Series. The White Sox are not there. They're not. And a $324 million commitment may be something that they can deal with. Not many teams can. That's just a fact. 312-332-3776. David Ross sat down with me yesterday on TV, and he also met the national media and his manager availability, and he addressed the Chris Bryant rumors.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes the job real. But when you really get to bear down and look at it, you try to look at the big picture, and obviously you want more guys like Chris Bryant on your team, and that relationship I have already with Chris. But I know Theo and Jed, and these guys got a job to do, and you know, they look at every option of how to make this team the best team they possibly can, you know, for this year and long term. And if I know anything about baseball, you know, the rumors aren't always as true as they may seem, and I see that even more now that I'm behind the curtain, so to speak.
There you go. So that's David Ross's thoughts on the Chris Bryant rumors. The Cubs are engaged on a number of fronts. San Diego, I talked to someone yesterday. They said, yeah, they're all in to try and get Wilson Contreras, and they have a deep, maybe the number one farm system in the game, and they're willing to give up a really good package. But as Jeff Passan said to us yesterday, Padres have been clear. Theo and Jed's ask for Wilson Contreras is absurd. So I'm glad. I would want my general manager to ask for the moon. Whether you're going to get the moon or not is another question, but why would you come in with what they deemed as a fair offer? Why? Would you, Danny?
No, absolutely not. I mean, Wilson Contreras is a huge asset for the Cubs. It's hard to find such a quality catcher in baseball.
Correct.
I mean, Jim Bowden told us yesterday, though, Theo Epstein is the kind of general manager that when he walks into a room to make a trade, his player is the greatest player ever, and what you're offering is the worst package ever.
Right.
That's why Theo is good at his job.
Yep.
I'm sure at some point, if he decides to pull the trigger on Wilson Contreras, he's going to get a package that's really good that he feels confident in.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't just throw – you can only trade Wilson Contreras once. So when you do it, you got to make sure you get back the pieces that are going to help rebuild this Cubs team, because if they're going to go through this, which no Cub fan thought they were going to go through this so soon after winning a World Series in 2016, mm-hmm. you've got to make it worthwhile.
Jim Hendry was telling me a couple of years back that, remember the deal they did for Nomar Garciaparra?
Yes.
So Theo was a newbie in the game. This was 2004 that the Cubs got Nomar, and it was a three-way deal. The Cubs, I believe the Expos, and the Red Sox. And Orlando Cabrera went to Boston, Nomar to Chicago, and I'm trying to remember who all went to the Expos. Anyway, Jim said, we got on the conference call, we're trying to get the deal done, and there's like 3 minutes to the deadline. That's it. And, of course, Theo's saying, I'm giving you Nomar Garciaparra. I need, like, the world from you. And even Theo confirmed it for me. He said, Jim went, okay, stop. Stop. Here's the deal. You want to move your guy, please stop telling me that he's Babe Ruth. He's got some warts just like everybody else. I'll take him. Here's the way the deal's going. I'm getting him. He may not be healthy, so you're going to give me a prospect back with him. I will give you XXX that you're sending to Montreal. And Theo said, Jim just laid the deal out for all three teams, and everyone went, we got 40 seconds. Is that good with everybody? Yeah, we're good. And that's how the deal got done. But he goes, Jim had been in the game a lot longer than Theo had at that point. I think it was Omar Minaya was running Montreal, and they said they made the deal, and Theo ended up going on to win a World Series with better infield defense with Orlando Cabrera. It was interesting how the behind-the-scenes works of the deals.
Lucky for us, this is a new and improved Theo that actually knows exactly what he's doing. So as a Cub fan, I feel good about that. Nobody's laying out deals for him. You know, David Ross yesterday when he met the media, I wrote down something that he said. And you know me, I'm a staunch Joe Maddon supporter. Mm-hmm. I love Joe Maddon. Mm-hmm. David Ross, and I don't believe he meant any disrespect to Joe Maddon. And obviously, as the new manager of the Chicago Cubs, he's clearly going to change things. That's why they brought him in. The whole, we need a new voice. He's going to change things up. But he said something that, I don't know if it was a shot at the players or shot at Maddon, and it rubbed me the wrong way. Let me read it to you. I wrote it down, and let's see what you think about it. He said, I will mix up some things early on. There will be a little bit more structure. I want some guys working together, not guys on their own plan. I want to do some things together. If you put your head down or your headphones on and you're staring at your phone in the locker room because your routine is done that day, you're not affecting the group. And it makes it sound as if under Joe Maddon there were a bunch of dudes on an island, not a team. And I don't know, is that a shot at the team? Is that a shot at Joe Maddon? Or is that just a guy saying, I'm going to do things differently?
I think when I had him at TV yesterday, he said, he goes, Joe and I are tight. He goes, Joe's won a billion more games than I've won to this point. I've never managed. But he said, I know what a winning locker room looks like, and I think we need more togetherness. So, you know, there you go. Guys are still going to get their individual work in. I think he just wants to change things up and, you know, have a little bit more in terms of structure. And I know that's Theo and Jed. They like more structure. Like Joe Maddon was, like, Theo and Jed are Ivy League. Joe Maddon's a shot and a beer from Hazleton. It's just different, and Rossi's more on their side. That's not a shot at Joe. It's just he was great for what he did, and now they're ready to move to the next thing with the Cubs. By the way, this Nomar Mazara that the White Sox have picked up came to the big leagues in 2016 before he was 21. He has been solid. He hasn't been spectacular. He's going to make $5 million this year. And the Rangers said, look, we had just too many outfielders. And they are still got money that they have to pay. Shin-Soo Chu, Joey Gallo. They've got a number of guys. Willie Calhoun. They just had an extra guy. So we'll see how everything shakes out with the White Sox. But I have no problem with this acquisition. None. They took a chance on a 24-year-old kid. It's not like he's a stumble bum. 20, 20, 20, and 19 home runs. And he's athletic and a good defender. Let's go to Lewis in Morton Grove. Lewis, what's up, Sparkles?
Not much. Feeling good, Cap. How you doing? Good morning, Danny. I miss you guys over here in Chicago. I'm kind of jealous you guys are in a warm area, but it's all right. Anyways, so I wanted to talk about, for the sake of argument, let's pretend that this is true, that the White Sox are saying, well, you know, there's no point of going to sit on this table because this guy is never going to come to Chicago. Or let's just sit at the table so everyone knows that we're here, but we're not going to offer big bucks because there's no point because he's not going to come to Chicago. That's the most dumbest thing ever, number one. Number two, this narrative that, or this statement that you just made that is a fact that Gerrit Cole was never going to come to Chicago because this, that, and the other. What makes it a fact if he was to call, if Gerrit Cole was to call you and tell you, there's only two teams that I'm not going to, there's only two teams that I will, that I'm willing to sign to, and that is New York Yankees and that is the Angels. The other than that, that's not a fact. You can't use that as a fact that he won't come to Chicago, if because money talks. It's all about how you sell your business. It's all about how you sell your team. So you mean to tell me if the Chicago White Sox would put on this hustling cap and go out there and talk to Gerrit Cole and sell him this dream and tell him, listen, you, they're offering you $324 million. We'll offer you $340 and this, that, and the other, and we're ready to win now, and you could be the most biggest star. It all depends on how you sell your team. You can't tell me it's a fact that he will never come to Chicago because they're not making money or whatever.
I didn't say he would never. What
you
I just, said
you
was...
You mentioned it's a fact that he wasn't going to come to Chicago.
At this point in time, it's a fact he was never going to sign with the Chicago White Sox.
That's
they're not ready
insane.
To win.
That's not a definition of a fact. You can't say that unless he calls you personally.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. There's always that what if. You see what I'm saying? And if
Lewis,
there's always that what
Lewis,
if, then it's
Lewis,
not a fact.
Lewis, we
and
talk
fact,
to people in the
And the fact that the Chicago White Sox are constantly you know, not either sitting out on the table or you know, sitting on the table but not offering competitive pay only tells me that they're not that serious of wanting to win now. So I'll hang up and listen. You guys
okay,
have one
Lewis,
time, and I'll talk
I love
to you,
you and I love that you call us almost every day and that you're a P1. It's just a fact that if the White Sox walked up and said, there's 340, Gerrit Cole, he wasn't going to sign here. Gerrit Cole and his wife made it clear when they met with the Yankees, really, we want to be home in California, but we're willing to listen. And after the presentation, he said, you know what? It is the Yankees. We have no problem moving across the country. And he's now a member of the evil empire. They're ready to win a World Series. The White Sox are not.
Cap, I understand what you're saying, and I love Lewis's passion. That's an upset White Sox fan, and he has every right to be that way. But I think what's frustrating people, I get it in the Gerrit Cole situation that the Yankees made more sense for him. I get it. But we say it all the time with the White Sox. They're not just signing here. You say it like it's a fact they're not signing
here. At this point,
and if you're a White Sox fan, that should piss you off. I understand Lewis getting so upset. And you can't just say, well, it's a fact he's not signing here. Everybody here in San Diego knew he wasn't going to sign with the White Sox. That's fine, but you can take that what you said, that statement, he wasn't signing with the White Sox, and apply that to so many free agents, and that's why people are upset.
Correct, but a year from now, if I told you they were the surprise team of 2020 and the Sox won 89 games and you're like, oh my God, Giolito won the Cy Young, Kopech came back and looks amazing, Luis Robert's rookie of the year. Okay, all of a sudden now you can walk up to a big-time free agent and go, okay, we're that close to winning the World Series and you can put us over the top. It's a different conversation. Today, they haven't been over 500 since 2012. It is fantasy land to think that the Yankees' revenues of $668 million, the White Sox of $272 million, and not ready to win, that they can walk up to Gerrit Cole and go, we'll give you $340. Why don't you come be a White Sox?
Well, you can understand why White Sox fans have a bad taste in their mouth, because just last week, Zach Wheeler took less money to go somewhere else.
I agree.
So if you're a White Sox fan and you see that, and then people like you who are in the know say things like, it's a fact Gerrit Cole would never come to the White Sox, you can understand why they're frustrated.
I get it. But it is the way it is. Jesse Rogers is here with us now. He has a little bit of breaking news that he posted this morning. Jesse just tweeted this. Some news here. The Cubs are not, in capital letters, talking about an extension this offseason with this popular player. It means he very well could walk in 2 years. Story here. And I just retweeted it. You can read it at ESPN Chi Cubs on Twitter. There's a link to the story. Jesse joins us, brought to you by Dan Fields and the Fields Auto Group. Get a unique, one-of-a-kind car buying experience by visiting one of their many Chicagoland dealerships or visit them at fieldsauto.com. Jesse, the name of said player is?
One of your favorites. That would be the first baseman, Anthony Rizzo. And I think there's a lot of little interesting things with this story. First and foremost, the agent for Rizzo,
Mark Pollock, great guy,
went on the record about this and let it known to the world that the Cubs were not going to extend him this offseason. And already people on Twitter are like, well, that's okay. They can extend him next offseason. Now, wait a minute. Rizzo has a choice in this matter as well. You get 1 year away from free agency, you start thinking about the 29 other teams that might bid on you. But within that quote as well, he says how badly Rizzo wants to be a Cub for life. Now, maybe the Cubs will use that against him in a year and return to that kind of conversation. But the bigger picture is, at the end of the season, they said they were exploring, they were going to explore extensions or trade possibilities with those four or five players that are 2 years away from free agency. Well, what's going on here? I also have a source in that story saying they haven't really discussed anything with Kyle Schwarber. So they've already said publicly now through Rizzo, Rizzo's agent, they're not discussing it with Rizzo. Chris Bryant's in trade rumors, and I asked Scott Boras repeatedly yesterday, are you talking extensions with the Cubs? And he gave that cliche answer, which was not a non-answer. One of those, we're open to hearing anything. Well, that's not a yes, and that's not a no. But the fact of the matter is Chris Bryant's in trade conversation, not extension conversation. So that leaves us basically Javi Baez. And I don't have confirmation they're talking to him right now. His agent just had a baby, so I think he's been a little busy. But I assume they are. I assume they are talking to Baez. But the Rizzo thing is interesting. Here's a guy whose value in the contract that he signed has actually been worth $221 million instead of the $41 guaranteed and then the $33 more he's going to make. So he's going to make $70 million or so. But he was worth $221 million. According to Fangraphs, he has outproduced his contract. He wants to be here. He's obviously the de facto captain, all the things he does in community. And the fact that the Cubs said, we're going to take a run at our guys 2 years out, and now they're not with one of their most popular players, kind of wonder what's going on over there. And last thing, Cap, I mean, if the agent's going on the record about this, you got to read between the lines. Rizzo's not happy. He would not allow his agent to even say anything. Because this does, in some circles, make the Cubs, you know, under the spotlight. You know, some circles, meaning a great portion of the fan base is going to be wondering now why. So the agent has gone public and sort of now put the Cubs in a position to answer why not, why aren't we doing it. And it means Rizzo, if you read between the lines, is not thrilled with this development, not having the ability to talk extension.
All right, hold on. We'll take calls. We'll talk more with Jesse. He's here for a while with us. Hey, at Fields Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Glemmy, you get a low price and a whole lot more. Some auto dealerships advertise false prices just to get you to come in. At Fields, all our advertised prices are real and don't change when you come into the dealership. At Fields, we want to earn your business and we'll never mislead you to get it. Come into Fields Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Glemmy or visit us at FieldsCJD.com. I know it's Bears Packers week. We will 100% talk football with Dan Graziano at 10 a.m. Football with Tommy Waddle, 11:25. Still to come, more with Jesse and Jim Tomey will be here at 10:25. And Mad Dog Chris Russo at 11. Lot to talk about. Winter meetings are heating up. Chicago has not done a lot. Nothing north side. Small move on the south side. We'll be right back. Here at San Diego, brought to you by White Claw, it's Cap and Company and ESPN 1000.
Live from San Diego all this week, we take you behind the scenes of the winter meetings with Cap and Company, brought to you by White Claw Pure Hard Seltzer. Carmen and Yurko.
It's hump day and it's a busy day of football. Reese Davis at 1 to talk about the semifinal games and all the other bowl games that are set now. And Field Yates at 1:30 to talk Bears and Packers.
Bears, Packers, Bears win.
The latest from San Diego and baseball's winter meetings, plus the Bulls and the Hawks tonight.
Carmen and Yurko.
Join us at noon for Crosstalk on ESPN 1000.
Thanks, boys. We'll talk to them a little bit later. 312-332-3776. Jesse Rogers is here with us. He had a breaking story this morning that the Cubs are choosing at this time to not engage with Anthony Rizzo on a contract extension. And I'm sure the Rizzo camp isn't happy about it. But if you try and put yourself in Theo's shoes, okay, he's identified that Javi Baez is the guy that he most wants to get a deal done with right now. He also wants to be able to walk into these various suites here and say, okay, John Daniels, Texas, you want to trade for Chris Bryant? Mike Rizzo, Washington, you want to trade? You can deal with the extension if we get the deal done. That's up to you what you want to pay him. Right. He doesn't want to walk in with handcuffs on and go, yeah, I need you to take all the money on the $200 million extension too. I got 2 years. I can figure all this out. So from Theo's perspective, why should he give anybody an extension unless he has no interest in ever trading them?
Because you could lose them for nothing in 2 years.
Okay, and he'll deal with that.
Most players that get within 12 months of free agency elect to just go to free agency, most, because they want to see what the other 29 teams feel like. I think you're not wrong on some of those other side of the coin aspects, Cap. I think the problem is, in Rizzo's mind, Rizzo's camp's mind, is that at the end of the season, Theo stated, we're going to take a run at these guys or trade them. Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound like there's going to be a huge market for Rizzo because of the position he plays. He's got to go to a contender. Mm-hmm. First base is pretty much taken up. I mean, he could go to a DH, but I just don't think that the value is there in terms of a trade. So, okay, but maybe they will. If they trade him, they trade him. But in the meantime, they said they were going to talk extensions with mm-hmm. these guys. So far, there's no Schwarber, no Bryant, no Rizzo, as far as I know. No Schwarber, no Bryant. It just from a source, whatever, and the Bryant stuff. So now we're down to Baez. So I think I get it. I absolutely get it. Rizzo, I get it as well. Now you're seeing Javi Baez, who's just maybe in Rizzo's mind, Johnny come lately. Like his stardom just occurred. Rizzo's been the leader and the star for much longer and produced just as well. And let's put it this way.
Yeah, hold on. Javi Baez is 27.
Yes.
Anthony's going to turn what, 31?
Yes.
Okay, that's 4 years. That is a light year. I mean, that is eternity in baseball speak. And I love Anthony. He's our guy.
I know. I'm putting you in the position to take the other side here.
But I'm telling you that if I'm the general manager of the team, I'm Theo and Jed. I'm sitting there going, hold on a second. My guy, I love. I love everything about him. There's no tag days for him. He's going to make $16 million this year. Okay. Prove to me your back's going to be healthy all next year. One. Two, Javi's 4 years younger than you. Two. Three, I don't want to walk into these meetings with my hands in handcuffs going, yeah, I need you to take all the extension. Oh, you want to trade for Anthony and you're going to overpay and I'm going to make a deal I have to make? Great. I don't have him signed to an extension, so I'm not walking in with handcuffs on. Same goes for Chris. Same goes for Contreras.
Well, why not? Same goes for Javi. You're walking in with
because
his hands
tied. Because he's 27, and maybe he just turned 27. Maybe they've identified him as that's the guy we're signing at age 27.
Look, you know, you're putting me in the corner to defend this thing. But the deals Baez and Rizzo could both sign with the Cubs would not be the same. Baez could sign for 8 years. Rizzo would sign for two. He's looking for probably two or three. I don't know for a fact. He's not looking for another six after his two option years. So their deals would be different. Less money, less years.
There's no way he'd take 2 years.
More money. Oh, I think he might take two to three years on top of.
I'd be surprised. I would think he's looking for.
I think if
they
extended him 3 years at least.
I think he's looking for four for 100.
On top of two options? After the two options?
Well, he's got this year.
Yeah.
And then he's got next year.
Right. You're saying after that he wants four more.
Probably four more, and I'm going to guesstimate north of $100 million. 25 to 30.
I mentioned in the story.
And he's worth it.
And we're just debating. I don't think either one of us are taking a side necessarily. I could debate the other side as well. I mentioned Paul Goldschmidt in the story. Rizzo will be the same age as Goldschmidt when Goldschmidt signed for 5 130 with
the
Cardinals.
How much time did Goldschmidt have left on his deal when he signed it?
Was it one?
He was in his walk year.
Yes.
Well, that's a big difference, Jesse. I'm just being honest. That's a big difference.
I don't think it's that big of a difference. This is a new team Goldschmidt was with. That was a new team Goldschmidt was with. This is the team that Rizzo has helped lead for 7 years. I don't know. I'm playing the other side of it.
I completely get it, but I also understand what they're talking about.
There's a big difference.
Walk year, two more years.
I think the big thing is the Cubs said, we're going to come to you with extensions.
That's probably a mistake on their behalf. Jesse, we'll check in with you later if anything
you
breaks.
You got it. Absolutely.
Okay, that's Jesse Rogers. I retweeted his article. It's about the Anthony Rizzo non-extension talks. We've got a lot more to do with Dan Graziano, Bears, Packers, around the NFL with Dan G. That is coming up next.